Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Daisy, press the button. I want to tell our podcast audience what a mess Judith Holder is in. Hello, this is Older and Wider. This is our theme tune.
What do you mean having a mess?
What you had then was you had your glasses on top of your head, and then you tried to put your headphones on. It wouldn't work. It was very,
I'm always doing
very
that.
Funny.
And
you've got a mess, and then your scarf was kind of caught up in it. All as
and then
well.
I put some lipstick on. I bet you it's on my teeth.
It's all over your face.
I do that a lot.
Ridiculous.
And it now goes down under there and sort of bleeds.
Bleeding.
It does that.
With your fraying lips. Fraying lips.
Now you put it.
That's the ones on your face. We're not talking about the ones on your bum.
Oh, you can.
Very bad this week.
What are?
My front bottom's been bad this week. This week.
Oh, Jenny.
Don't look at me like that.
I just walked in.
Yes, but you introduced me to the very concept of vaginal dryness. Anyway, it was you that told me about it when I was far too young. You that upset me.
Oh, I'm getting all the blame for
it. Yeah, of course you are, because you're knocking on a bit. Have you got a birthday next week?
I have.
Well, do you know what? When you send me an email over the weekend.
Yeah.
You said, because you do a running order, because you know about your control issues.
Running order for this?
For this
podcast.
Yes,
yes,
some
I
ideas.
Do. It's always ignored, but yes.
Totally
yes.
Ignored.
Yes.
But you said, you know, another birthday.
Yes, well, that's right. It was on my sort of agenda. It's on my radar at the moment,
well,
which is what we
this
do.
This morning, I woke up in such a guilty spin about not having bought you a present.
Oh, God, did you really?
I made you a card.
Have you bought me one?
Yeah.
Have you?
Do you want it now?
Oh, yeah, I'd like it now.
Well, do you want it?
Well,
you
no, won't have it now because I'm so old now I get very, very, very few presents.
Well, I'll give it to you. It's not a parcel or anything like that. Remember that it was a guilt buy at 7:30 this morning.
Oh, God. A guilt buy? Oh, now I'm thinking it's been something from a chemist.
Well, no, it's not.
It's from the corner shop.
Try and keep it flat. Oh, it's all come undone. The envelope was an old envelope. I'm really sorry.
That's
a bit
right.
Homemade, Judith.
Oh, well, how lovely. Have you actually made me a card, perhaps?
I might have done.
Oh.
And then there's something inside the card.
Is there a token?
Well, you might be. Don't spoil your own birthday present, you fool.
No, I'm just trying to speculate. I'm very excited now. The thing is, it's not really a sealed envelope. That's kind of worrying. Why is that?
Well, okay, all right. This is a terrible thing to admit. Okay, I made you a card and I thought, oh, I want to take a photograph of that thing that I've done.
Oh, because you were pleased with it.
Because I think I might use it again for my mother's Christmas calendar.
What, you know, your mother who's 90?
She's 90.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not for her birthday.
Oh,
I do her a calendar, so 12 pictures go on her calendar.
Oh, yeah.
I get it done over the internet. You know when you
you send it off.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I have to employ somebody to do that for me.
Oh, well, I get into a terrible spin.
Impossible.
It used to be very easy. Mac used to do one that was built into the computer.
I know. And they stopped it.
They stopped doing it.
Bastards, they stopped it.
Absolutely. I had a nervous breakdown over that.
Well, me too, because did you do what I did? I did the whole thing of going through all my photos, picking them out, putting them in the order, getting them down to the right size.
All mine were artworks. You just had to drop them in the box and they refitted to the...
Oh.
Yeah, it was dead easy.
Oh, well, I seem to make very heavy weather of mine anyway. So I got right to the end of it and then it said...
We know.
You got to the same thing.
Yes. This is around 2017, I think.
Oh, I did it last year. I was very, very late to in on this ghastly secret.
Well, it's taken me 2 years to get over it. I'm still smarting because I remember the moment when I clicked on the button. You're basically clicking send for the calendar to
exactly. go. That's right.
You no longer offer this
You just
service.
Reminded me. It's like packing for the biggest holiday in your life, isn't it? It's like packing for a whole family to go on holiday and getting to the airport and finding at the departure gate, it just says, like, flight's gone, sorry.
Yeah, bye.
Fuck off home.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what it was like.
Actually, that would be worse, Judith. I think we have to kind of be able to put things a little bit
I need to get these into perspective a bit?
Yeah, that's really going a bit overboard.
Well, I suppose it was a bit, yeah.
I thought you were going to say it's like packing for a family holiday and the handle coming off your case, as mine did, do you remember?
Well, yeah, it was just much worse than that.
Single-use wheelie bag. But do you know what? Because it's a Toomey bag, a very expensive Toomey bag bought for me by this.
You told us about that.
I took it back to the shop.
You didn't.
I so did. They have a 5-year guarantee. They looked at it. They said, oh, yeah, that must have been really difficult for you. They're sending it back to Germany. It's getting refitted. I tell you.
Never.
Sometimes, you know, when you spend money, well, obviously I didn't, but it was a present.
Yeah.
I just thought, I know this was an expensive bag. Yeah. It should have lasted longer, so I'm taking it back. And they couldn't have been better about it.
Where did you take it back?
To the flagship store.
You'd done your research.
Mm-hmm.
You researched it, off you went.
I can't tell you. And they've taken it. I mean, God knows whether I'll ever hear from them again. I don't know. But apparently
she's gone away.
Yeah, she's gone away. Shut the doors. Yeah. Anyway, so that's, I'll keep it. There are people hanging on to this now with bated breath.
Did you use your Lady Mayoress voice?
I would like to report a damaged suitcase purchased from this very store. So, anyway, I'll keep you posted on that one, everybody.
I'm so sorry.
To hold your breath. Oh, dear. Okay, right. This is the podcast Older and Wider. Oh, today dear. We are seeing Janet Ellis, our friend Janet Ellis.
Of Blue Peter fame, as was.
As many, many other things.
I really wanted a Blue Peter badge.
Did you? See, I didn't.
So badly.
Well, why didn't you get one?
I resorted to all sorts of things, according to my mother. And in the end, because I used to send them drawings and say, you know.
Oh, they must have been poor.
P.S. I'd like a badge. They did eventually give me one, but just the cheap one.
Well, hold on, what was the cheap one? Just the plastic, white
the
plastic?
The white one with the blue.
I actually thought that was a bit classier, a bit more...
Did
I
think, you?
Yeah, if I was still wearing Blue Peter badges, that would be the one I'd wear.
It'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it, if we were?
Oh, no, I think it would be sort of... I think if you were in your 20s, it would be kind of funky, ironic thing
Absolutely.
To do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I think in your 50s, it kind of screams, oh, God, avoid that woman at all costs. Don't talk to her at a barbecue party.
Definitely.
Because she'll want to take over.
Yeah.
She's a bit Blue Peter badge. You see, I think... When I was younger, I would describe someone as being a bit Blue Peter badge in a way like going, oh, keep away, alarm, klaxons going.
Would
They're
you?
A bit Blue Peter badge, yeah.
I really wouldn't have liked you when
no,
you were
No, absolutely.
I'd have avoided you.
I would not have been allowed in your house.
No,
Your
quite
mother
rightly.
Would have picked up quite quickly.
She would.
And she'd have said, listen, Judith, I don't want that, Jenny
She's
Hargreaves.
Trouble.
I don't want to. She's younger than you. I don't know what you're doing playing with her anyway.
She's trouble.
She's trouble. She's she's a bit languagey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad influence.
And she doesn't take her shoes off when she comes in the house.
Oh. Yeah, my mother would have smelt that out in you. Absolutely,
Absolutely.
Instantly. Yeah. So you didn't want one? I was desperate for one. I got the cheap
My mother
one.
Would have loved you. She'd have
of course
really,
she would.
Oh, she'd
of course
have bribed
she would.
You to be my friend. She'd have given me lifts home and everything.
She probably would.
She'd have picked
she?
You up from your house. Come to tea. Come for tea. Jenny's got some riggedy raggedy friends.
Hoping that I would rub off on you.
Yeah, yeah.
My influence.
Yeah, she would. Oh, Judith, why? Oh, maybe we could do a project together. What a shame. Judith's 5 years old and has already gone to university. Otherwise, Judith could come round and do some A-level
I'd have loved
revision.
That. I'd have really liked that.
It
would have made me feel really important, but no, I didn't get one. I always wanted a gold one. But I think you had to dive into a sort of quarry to save a dog or something to get that.
And they were a bit special, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
But Janet is on book number two. I'm just going to dig it out of my
bright
yellow bag. We call it turmeric, don't we? And this
bright
is her
yellow.
New one. This is How It Was.
Yes.
I love the cover. If you're looking out for it in the bookshops, it's... It's yellow, orange and blue cover. It's bright and it's coming out in trade press quite soon. Trade press means big fat paperback, which is great for me because it's the only size book I can read with my actual eyes because of the dry eye thing. And this isn't out on Audible yet, so I've had a preview read and I'm on page 200 and 247, and I am hugely, hugely enjoying it.
Fantastic.
Look, she can see how
I've been reading it. That's
she
right.
She can see that I've been reading it in the bath because it's a bit waterlogged and it's gone a bit wibbly-wobbly.
Because often when interviewers say they've read it or they've seen it, they haven't, have they?
Oh, you can. This is dirty. This is
yeah,
scrubby.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
I don't
impressive.
Really wash my hands.
Oh, dear.
Right, OK, so the things that John, you've written on the podcast...
On the bossy list.
..list.
Oh, yes.
Are we feeling any older or wider?
Yeah. Well, I'm feeling wider, Jenny.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I am feeling wider.
Why would you say that?
Well, because I am. I mean...
You're not weighing yourself, are you?
Weighing myself, but kind of worse than that is that, you know that lovely dress that I slimmed into for the wedding? Well documented on this podcast. Yeah. Anyway, I've got two parties.
Have you tried it on?
I've tried it on, Jenny. I had a horrible feeling.
Did you take it to the dry cleaners after the wedding?
No, can't even put. No, don't know. It would be nice to
a chemical shrink. That's going to offer you
what,
a chemical shrink.
Yeah, well, no, that would be good. I mean, I managed to get the zip up, but you know that awful thing that if I was to sit down in it, or it would all be. You know, that terrible sort of, you know, like a Japanese thing that sort of binds you around the bust. And
yeah.
It's too tight.
And
they'd
be creaking at the
seam. And it's all lumpy.
Could it go? Could it actually go?
Yeah, it could well go. Well, it could go at any second anyway. So, yeah, I am. I've put on massive. Do you know the other thing I've noticed recently? I've never noticed this in my life before. It's all my pants start to be, they're starting kind of riding up. Oh, God, it's a bit personal, isn't it? But up my bum crack.
Well,
and I've never noticed that before.
That made Daisy laugh.
Yeah. No, oh, but
are you saying your bum crack has loosened so that the pants
well,
are sort of being devoured?
The only way I can explain it is that I'm filling them out.
I don't think you are. You see, I think they're getting loose enough. Because if you were filling them, they'd be so tightly stretched across your backside, they wouldn't be able to travel up the crack in the arse.
Well, initially I thought that was the case, but actually I think that what's happening is that they are being filled out more, and therefore they are sort of riding. You know, so I have to do that thing where I'm walking along and I have to kind of pull a corner.
Oh yeah,
down.
Yeah.
Snatch
a corner of a pant and yank it out.
Yeah, because it's all riding up.
Oh,
it's a horrible
dear.
Feeling, isn't it? So there's that. Yes, well, I am.
I mean, but you could go without. I mean, not to say because you're wearing a dress. But no, you could, I suppose. Some people do. I don't think.
Well, that would be a bit like giving in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So you've got to fight the pants, really.
Yeah, I think I have, really.
Okay, so now the dress... Did it come with a bolero top or anything like that?
No. And the trouble is, it's got a sort of sashy, built-in sashy thing around the middle. Because I had a look at the seams, because I thought, I know what I'm doing. I'm taking that down to the lady down the road who does the alterations.
Well, who would need to? But you've got your own sewing machine, Judy.
Oh, I know, but alterations are tricky.
Hey, I know, no.
Well, they
you
are.
You just that sash bit, you just cut that, right, and put in a maybe some contrast material. In a stretchy fabric.
Well, I had wondered about that. I'd wondered whether you could put a stretchy thing at the back seam.
Of course you
could.
That
would be the easiest thing. But like, as you said, this thought did go through my mind.
Because
I could always stand next to the wall, couldn't I?
Oh, God,
I could always.
What's it, two parties? Why do you need two parties? What a ridiculous thing. Your social life makes me cross. Go on, why two parties?
50th in the village. We've been invited to a 50th. I feel rather privileged to be going to a 50th,
well,
I must say, these
probably,
days.
When they were doing the guest list, they were going, there was probably a Venn diagram. There was probably a big circle of those around 50. And then they did the sort of 50 to 60-year-olds, and they put those in. And then they said, do we have to have... Who's over 60? And they put a few in.
I was on a question list, wasn't I?
Yeah,
I know.
You were.
But I feel
you're on the outer ring.
I feel privileged to be asked, and he's a lovely guy, he's really good fun,
to such an extent.
Oh,
do you mean he's gay?
No, he's lovely.
He's good fun.
I'm really glad you don't live in our village. It's such a killjoy.
Oh, God, I would be run out.
You'd be very unpopular. You'd be extremely unpopular. Anyway.
They would set fire to my thatch.
Yeah. What's left of it. Yeah, so I feel kind of lucky to be invited, if you know what I mean, because there'll be a lot of young people there.
And lucky to have you, Judy.
And so I felt the need to offer to make some cheese scones.
Oh, God.
I did. So I've got... Do you know what I mean?
I've never met anyone as cunning as you. You are the most cunning woman. You know the reason why you've done this? Because your flower and produce show is coming up and you want quick practice. Well, could I be right?
Yeah, then I might get a reputation of making nice cheese scones. I'm going to make 100 of them.
Cheese scones are...
So that's on my list on Friday. Oh, make 100 scones.
Oh, ridiculous.
I know.
But there's nothing more hideous than a cheese scone. Because, Judith, everyone looks at a scone and they want to bite in to a currant-y, raisin-y thing. And when they bite into a cheese scone, it's a bit cheesy. But what do you have on that? You can't put jam on it. What do you have with a cheese scone?
Well, you just burst my bubble, haven't
you? Do you know what you should make instead? Or you could get them from Gales. Cheese straws.
And don't be ridiculous, I can't.
Cheese, well, that would
set me back,
wouldn't it?
Be about 200 quid.
Oh, you'd be lucky to see change. Well, 200 quid.
Two or three eaten by the time I got home as well.
They are. A taste sensation.
Oh, I bet they're good.
They're very cheesy.
Yeah. It's making my mouth water just to think about them.
I'm feeling a bit faint. Seriously, what is the purpose of the cheese scone?
Well, I think that my offer has given rise, if I'm not mistaken, to a sort of afternoon tea theme, because it's the sort of party that starts at 4:30 and goes on till late.
Oh, no,
and
you that's can,
yeah,
awful.
Yeah, well, obviously, I can't stay there all that time. I should be dead on
my
feet.
You do the 4:30 to 6:30 shift.
No, well, I might go back as well later if I can fit into
go
my
home
blue
for
dress.
Tea.
Yeah, a bit of a sit down, you know.
Yeah, have a nap.
Exactly.
Have a
yes,
middle
recharge,
of the party nap.
Recharge.
I mean, that's the great thing about living in the village, because you just walk.
Yeah,
can't
cycle.
You?
Just cycle home. Okay. Yeah, then okay. Yeah, then back I'll come.
So, not in that frock. I wouldn't cycle in the frock. That's really asking for trouble.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Might not be able to
you
cycle.
Also, you can't balance 100 cheese scones on your scones. I say scones. Why did I just say scones? How annoying. I just annoyed myself. No. So, yeah, what is the purpose in a cheese scone?
Well, because I think, anyway, so it's given rise to, I think, a bit of an
afternoon tea thing.
So I've now discovered that my friend Liz has been asked...
on board, has she?
Well, she's not off. She's making 100 sweet scones.
Oh, God. It's just a bit scone-themed, this, isn't it?
There's going to be an awful lot of scones in the village, isn't
we there? Don't know how to say scone. Scone. I don't even like scones.
So, yeah. I am a bit worried about them being dry. I know what you mean. So I was starting to think on my way here whether I should make a sort of
chili
cream
jam.
Cheese. Chili jam?
A chili jam.
What's chili jam?
Well, chili jam. Oh, everyone does chili jam. Okay, go to Marks and Spencer's. They do chili jam.
Really?
Yes, they're like a sort of jammy pickle. But instead of a pickle, it's more of a jam. Chili jam. Look it up.
Oh, never heard of it.
And then you could... it would just add a little bit of bite or something to your very boring cheese scones.
I'm beginning to think.
Because there's going to... I'm really sorry. There's going to be a big platter of savoury cheese scones. Then there's going to be a big platter.
They're all going to be hers, aren't they?
They might do. Because she's going
are.
To... Oh, I'm really sorry. Because you know what she's going to do. There's going to be an attractive bowl that she'll probably buy for this special occasion, full of whipped cream. And then probably a mountain of strawberries with just a dusting of caster sugar. And then people are going to help
You're
themselves.
Right. There's going to be a crowd around her.
Absolutely.
Nobody
just,
with mine.
Just you, with your bursting out of your best frock. Creaking at the seams.
I'd have to put a load into my bag, wouldn't I, to pretend that they'd been eaten.
Savoury scones! Savoury, come and buy!
Yeah.
No, you don't sell them. That's ridiculous. But what's a stupid thing to do?
I know, well, I've done it now, haven't I?
Well, no, you've
my Friday yourself. Gone. 100 scones.
Oh, Judy. I've never made a scone in my life.
Well, of course you haven't.
Okay. Well, so you're feeling older and wide. Are you feeling older as well?
Well, it's a birthday next week, which is 64. That's quite old, isn't
That's
it?
That's like the song, isn't it?
I know,
will
it's what
you
I
still
thought.
Need me?
I know.
Will you still
see me?
Or will you leave me when I'm 64? another candle on the cake.
Yeah, I know. Because then I'm
You don't need a cake because you'll have a leftover cheese scone.
Yeah, I have so many leftover cheese scones. But you know, because I'm nudging towards that middle, aren't I? You know, which is not far from going over to the next number. Because you know that feeling when you're in the middle of a decade?
Yeah. Well, you're still on the young side of 60. You're still sort of early 60. This is your last year of early 60s.
It is,
60s.
Isn't it? Because then I'm definitely mid and then I'm tipping over towards...
Into late 60s,
I know. And then, God, how will I feel?
Because
I
feel fine. You feel fine.
Yeah. You can say that, can't you, knowing that you're always going to be lagging behind.
Yeah.
Lagging nicely
well, I've got
behind.
Big 60 next year,
you
so... Hopefully you won't bring me any scones. Anyway, we won't be having a party. I don't know about my...
Enough.
Why? No, I know. No friends whatsoever.
Well, I'm not surprised the way you start talking about these things.
And shall I just tell you about me and
then.
My wideness
briefly,
or whatever?
Briefly,
I
you
saw
tell
my,
me.
I saw my breasts the other day. And I've just stripped off when I was going to have a bath. I thought, how lovely they were still. How lovely they are still. Really good. Really good. So I've been doing quite a lot of yoga recently.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not done anything else. I've not lost any weight. But the tits are superb.
What, do you think the yoga has helped?
Yes, I do. Because it's, yeah, I think it's helped because of posture. I think there's a little bit of muscle tone going along. There's quite a lot of downward dog. So you're doing quite a lot on your...
Yes.
There's a lot of toning up. Oh. And I tell you, they've come up. I mean, they've risen like a scone. I've got two savoury... three scones, one on each, and they're matching and they're high up.
Lovely.
I'm almost sort of thinking I don't really need a bra.
Oh, good God.
They've got enough muscle tone to hold themselves up.
No, Jenny, don't.
I'm serious about it, Judy. Anyway, there
we
go.
I think that's dangerous.
God, do you know what time's gone so fast? Janet's going to be coming in a minute.
We've got to eat our coleslaw.
We haven't had lunch.
We've got to have a coleslaw.
Have you had coleslaw? Have you got coleslaw?
Well, I'm looking forward to my coleslaw.
Oh. Anyway, listen, very, very quickly.
Yes.
My new passion in life. Okay, and I don't have many, and you know me, I don't like sex. So, my new passion in life is Blown Away. God, it's a competitive competition. It comes from Canada. 10 glass blowers. They blow glass, Judith.
It's a great title.
Fucking blow glass. It's the most exciting thing I have ever seen on television. And it's competitive and they have to do these challenges. And then they knock one out every week. And I watched all 10 programmes over the weekend. I don't know what to do with myself now. I'm so disappointed with myself because I've kind of eaten the whole cake. That's what I've done. I've eaten the whole cheese. But not cheese
scone. What
you say,
Jenny? Do you think you need to get out more?
No, I don't. I need to stay in more and watch more Blown Away. They need to make some more quicker. That's what they need to do. It's not my fault.
What are they making?
Don't you blame me. Oh, they make the most extraordinary things, honestly. And one of them was so beautiful and so sort of humble and lovely. So they get different challenges. So one would be... it would be a pop art. So one week it would be do something that is pop arty. And so somebody did a great big swirl of toothpaste out of a tiny tube, but the toothpaste swirl was huge.
Oh, right.
And then you did, they had a photograph that meant something to them and they had to depict that in glass. Yeah, glass, actually. And, the cleverness of people. I'm not going to tell you more because you've got to watch it, but the cleverness of people. And glass blowing is the maddest thing ever. You think pottery is mad, okay?
Yeah.
Pottery's not mad. Glass blown is mad. Okay.
It's a test, isn't it?
It's lunchtime now.
Yeah. Oh, good. Bring on the coleslaw. Marvellous.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, stop grooving now. Don't do that. Oh, that was a bit embarrassing.
Hello.
I saw Janet Ellis. She went a bit like her daughter then.
She was getting on down.
I think that's the right expression.
Hey, your Sophie, she did the Lytham Festival.
She indeed did.
Which my mum lives opposite that green, the Lytham Festival. Well, Lytham has not done anything for centuries. And all of a sudden, it's gone mad. And they have what they call the Lytham Proms. And they have really, really shit-hot guests. I mean, you've got to imagine, Lytham is like nowhere, really.
I've never been.
What's
like
happened
it to
the St Anne's, though?
Well, the Sintans, we don't count that because that's Sintans and we're Lytham.
Because John we're used to go on holiday. Lytham. My husband's from Huddersfield.
Oh, yes.
And he used to go on holiday to Lytham and Sintans to make a clear distinction almost... between that and, say, Blackpool.
Okay, there's Lytham, which has got a windmill and a green, which is where my mother lives opposite. She lives opposite the green. So when the Lytham proms is on, if she wants to hear somebody, she opens all the windows.
Oh, fantastic.
If she doesn't like it, she closes all the windows.
Fantastic.
So she heard your girl and she heard
Did she keep the windows open?
Windows were open. It's the Lytham seal of approval from my 90-year-old mother.
I think that should be an emoji.
There you go. But apparently, and I could have told Sophie this, it was a bit windy on the green. And she was wearing quite a skimpy dress and it blew up and
showed her knickers.
Well, I think she was wearing a bathing suit quite
cleverly.
Well,
she wasn't actually.
Was it just leopard skin knickers?
Like, yeah, knickers.
Oh,
yeah.
What's it like watching your daughter perform like that?
It's a strange thing. I can always tell if she's a bit nervous.
Can you?
Which is odd because obviously she bounces on stage as if she isn't.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of real, you know, it's like watching a kid in a nativity, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't matter if they're playing Third Lobster or something. You know, that's the one you're looking at
yeah.
and the story's all about them.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like that. But then I know the first time we went to one of the bigger gigs and there were loads of people and they started singing the words to her songs along with her. Mm-hmm. It felt weird. It
yeah.
felt weird because she's my baby, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm good at sharing.
But doesn't she sometimes have her brother on stage with her doing the
she
drums?
She used to do. He is now employed by one John Newman, so he's out all over the country with yeah. John Newman doing drumming. But yeah, for a while. Actually, that's quite funny because Jack had always wanted to be a drummer.
Gosh, so you've got two
Oh,
musicians.
She's got three brilliant children.
But also,
they're all
you know,
fabulous.
Your sister doesn't want to be a drummer and he was about eight. And you've got to go, here's a piano.
Yeah.
And actually, I had to make this little bargain with him about learning the piano for 2 years. And then if he still wanted to play the drums at the end of that. And honestly, at the end of 2 years, he practically closed the piano lid and went, where's the kid?
I've done 2 years.
And he then went to sort of Saturday classes. And at the end of his first one, the guy came out and said to me, I've got really bad news. He's a natural.
Oh, God.
And of course, if you've got the flipping drummer, that's where the band has to be. In the early days of putting bands together, because the drum kit
can't move. Because they can't move the drum kit.
They can all, yeah, so Jack lived in a kind of box of sweat, which we would slice open occasionally and tell him about mealtimes. And it was noisy and hot and full of people playing other instruments.
Because this would have been before the time of, you know, nowadays they have those drum kits where you just wear headphones.
Well, he had those in a vain attempt. You know, actually, our neighbours, I have to say, totally brilliant about this. Totally. Amazingly brilliant. And he only drummed during the day. Well, the day is flexible. But we got him an electric kit.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
No.
It is not.
The drummers
the
are always
same.
The mad ones, though. Did you think, oh, God,
no,
I've got a drummer?
Kind of not.
He's not so mad.
He's by far the neatest person in the family. The girls are, hey, girls, they're really untidy. Both.
Because Martha is your third.
Yeah.
What does Martha do?
Oh, Martha's a brain box. Martha is, Phoebe was at Oxford with me.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know, wasn't that nice?
Yeah.
So we were in a play together and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. But Martha's a bit younger, but she got a first. I mean, she's
at, she did history of art and she now works with an art dealer. So,
wow.
You know,
yeah. Gosh, so three really artistic, talented children.
They're lovely people.
Yeah.
And then this brood of fabulous grandchildren.
Oh, you've got grandchildren
as
well?
How many she got?
Oh,
and then loads of them have got red hair. You know what I'm like. I like dachshunds and children with red hair.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a strange combination.
And I like colza. We know about that.
Okay.
But I have an absolute thing for red-haired children, like a magnet.
Well, this is a broad spectrum of red-haired children, because 4 out of 5 of them are red-headed.
Wow.
And they're not all the same red.
Do you sometimes look at the fifth one and think, I'm just going to pop a bit of henna on you?
The fifth one is a redhead. It's the fourth one down.
The fourth
one. Missed out.
Oh, does he care or is he quite...
No, he's the performer. He's the little... He's going to be in show business.
Really? Can you tell this early?
Yes.
I'm very envious because we're exactly the same age. I'm 64 this year. Are you already 64?
64 in September.
Yes. Oh, okay. So I'm a little bit older than you, but only 5 months.
Just, I'm like years behind.
I know.
You know, like in school.
No, you're catching up really quickly, Jenny.
I'm still in the upper third when you were in like the fifth or sixth
form.
Yeah,
but we have got a free tube and travel pass, so...
When I get mine, I'll probably be about 78
or something. Oh, they'll all be phased out by the time they get to you.
But the tube pass... I keep thinking someone's going to stop me at the barrier and say,
I bet.
I think there's been some mistake.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if people did stop me because you're very young looking. I'm surprised people don't go, are you sure you haven't stolen this from your older sister?
Sophie had Sunny when she was 25 and I'd had her when I was 23. So I was still in my 40s when I was a grandparent. He's now 15, obviously.
Oh, you've got a 15-year-old grandson.
15 going down to not. Yeah. And
Mickey's just months old, isn't he?
He's six.
Six months old.
Sweet. And obviously I've got loads of pictures of dogs and children on my phone, so
no,
we can spend
fine.
A happy 3 hours
with
a slideshow and a commentary. But when Sonny was born, and I was going into hospital to visit, because he was born early, so he was in special care, which actually was the same with Martha, so all very familiar. And there was one moment when I was walking into hospital and somebody said, you know, where are you off to? And I said, I'm Sonny Jones. And she went, oh, okay, Mum, right, he's in here. But actually, I don't want to be mistaken either for somebody's sister, my daughter's sister, or anyone else except my grandchildren's grandma. And I bagsied grandma really early.
Did you? Got sensible.
Grandma, that's
good
the word
tip.
I wanted to use.
Very good granny. Tip.
Don't want gran. Want
not
grandma.
Nana.
No. No. Not, that's not me.
Well, you're not northern, you see. I don't know what I do because when I was a child, I had a nana and a papa.
Oh, that's very sweet, actually.
We didn't have grandma, granny, grandpa, that sort of thing. It was nana and papa.
Yeah. I quite like nana, too.
I like nana.
We can't, because you're not northern, so you've got grandma.
Yeah. No, so I've got grandma.
I think that, you know, there is, we are the new... That you are the new face of grandmotherhood.
Yeah,
I mean, grandmas are no longer sort of little twisted figures pushing.
Quite likely. Although, having seen me dancing, that's how embarrassing I can be.
Is there such a thing as grandma dancing? Is that a phenomenon?
Grandma dancing is, there's a crossover. I can sort of get away with it with, obviously, the six-month-old thinks everything I do is funny. The three-year-old, jury's out. Seven-year-old, he's too busy dancing himself. Yeah. 10, be careful. 15, oh, for goodness sake. So there's a definite sliding scale.
So we're very surprised that in amongst all that, you have had time to write How It Was, which is your new book. Now, I am on page 247. So glad that this has come out in trade press because the font is big enough for someone with dry eye to read. So I'm absolutely loving it. I got to a point where I nearly got out of the bath to underline some sentences because it's the period detail is absolutely perfect.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, it's very claustrophobic. It's really about an unsatisfied woman.
It is.
And she really is unsatisfied. She's looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places.
Yeah, really.
And her relationship with her daughter is very worrying. But it's building and building, and I know I'm brewing for a storm, and I'm not quite sure where the storm's going to come and who it's going to hit. And I know there's a tragedy around the corner. I can barely bear it because I know who it involves, and I don't want to do any spoilers.
Okay.
Where did this one come from? Because your last was more historical. This
it
one...
It was. Although The Butcher's Hook was set in 1763, and... I mean, isn't it all about genre now? But that creates an immediate problem because they want to kind of put it on a historical shelf.
Yeah.
And then opening it, you will realise that nothing to do with that period of history really happens. It's about the people. So when I was writing The Butcher's Hook, because it's about this quite young girl, she's 19, but she really appears much younger because obviously it's 1763, so she didn't get out much. You know, it was about that feeling of us all being the same. You know, if somebody was born then, they would feel like we do. They would have the same appetites, whether they're
same but less
physical,
but less selfies.
And fewer selfies. Yeah. Plus, nowhere to put all that. So there was that sense of it broiling up and trying to make sense of a world that you can only interpret up to the point where your education finishes, which is about 10 in those
days. And being
days.
A woman in a man's world.
And being a woman and expected to marry, blah blah blah. So. All that. And I suppose the short answer to where does it come from, it's, without sounding, here we go into author speak, it's like hearing voices to me. It's like somebody actually taps me on the shoulder and goes, this is who we are today, this is who we are. And Marion, the heroine of, I think she is my heroine, of my book, is sort of the same age that my mother was in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's when I was a teenager, so I can remember all that bit really well.
The detail about the domestic side of 70s life is great. The tinned mints.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, Marion doesn't like cooking, does she?
She does not.
I mean, there's a fabulous description of she's let her carrots go and trying to peel carrots. You know when carrots have gone bendy?
Yeah.
Your description of peeling bendy carrots is beautiful. And Marion just lines tins up and just opens them and it's just
there's horrible.
A there's a a great description of a meal where everyone leaves so much on their plate that there seems to be more mince than what she started with. And I absolutely know, because of school dinners and knowing 70s food, you can see these absolute lakes of mince puddling on plates.
Horrible, isn't it?
Those awful tin potatoes.
I forgot about
the brown tin peas, yes.
The 70s, less so the 80s, I think the 70s was a very obvious decade in terms of style and things and new inventions and everything. And I don't know whether it's because we were teenagers at the time, so we noticed all these things, but it's just very, very vivid in this book.
Oh, well, that's lovely. Thank you. I think it's also a time when there was that weird sort of 60s hangover. You know, people who were born young enough to experience the 60s full on, even though it probably only happened in one street in Chelsea, still had a kind of hangover of free love, birth control, different attitudes to women, women's lib burgeoning. But of course, most of the time it passed people by.
You know, somebody living in Marion has passed by.
Absolutely. She lives in a tiny village in Kent and has had quite a restricted life anyway up till that point. So all she meets are the fringe elements of that, which are men who by the 70s have gone, hey, this is good. Shag who you like. And if they resist, they're frigid or they're a funny old women's libber. But generally, win-win for the blokes. So Adrian, who she mistakenly falls for, is definitely a combination of all those
all
boys.
All the bad men that you
all
ever...
All those boys and men. I can remember.
He's fantastically selfish.
It's a horrible piece of work. I did quite enjoy
him. I quite fancy him, obviously. I would go beeline for the Adrian. Adrian's a painter. Yeah, well, for starters, he's a painter and he drinks
this
at
week.
Lunch. Time and you know, so already, you know, I'm stripping off for him as a writer. What I'm intrigued by, because we've sort of done bought out books at similar times, do you plan ahead, or how is your, what is your writing process?
No, I'm chaotic, absolutely chaotic, and there's lots of reasons/excuses why it took me as long as it did to write.
How long did it take you to write that book?
It wasn't the actual process of writing it, it was the process of actually bloody sitting down and writing a book, having said to probably too many people to be comfortable that's what I wanted to do, and they go through an arc of hey to when to not even asking you, because it's just taken forever to actually do it.
But you have a huge family life. I mean, there are so many.
Excuse. I had a whole array of reasons why I couldn't do it, because I thought, you know, unless I can commit to the same time every day. And obviously, I want to be able to see my friends and do stuff. Plus, what does a writer actually wear? You know, I thought I'd have to go and buy some different clothes.
Because why?
Because I thought I had to have a sort of wardrobe to be a writer.
You know, might have to dress up as what's her name that everybody does? It was on the tip of my tongue. Help me out here. Dorothy Parker.
Oh, Dorothy Parker.
Did you think you were going to have to sit there in a velvet cape?
Well, actually, I was kind of going the Vanessa Bell Virginia Woolf.
Oh,
you
nice.
Know,
oh,
flowy,
lovely.
Tea gowny. Yeah. So I thought, you know, and different shoes and everything. And also I thought, and this is probably way bigger. No, it is way bigger. That if anybody said, I'm not sure, I would just freak out because I don't react well to criticism.
Well, who
and
does?
I really don't like it. And it also, it's just this weird thing that I've been trying to explain to myself for a long time now, that I think of myself as a sort of team player. You know, I love doing live telly because the sound guy's as important as the presenter, as everybody else. They're not really. I love doing theatre, you know, same thing, bit of an interaction. And then I realise, if I'm honest, it's because it's not all my fault. And when you write it, flipping
it,
you know, and this audacious thing that you write something, you try and express something, there's no new place to be writing, is there? Every story, my one has probably been replicated in hundreds of books. There's no new way, really.
Oh, but not exactly like that.
Well, that's it. You know, you kind of think, oh, gosh, how can I describe falling in love or eating the wrong food or, you know, all the things that happened to Marion or to Anne? How can I describe that and make it feel real? And also, if I do that, you know, I've got to then write it down and then show it to somebody else. And I run the risk of them going, but I think you'll find it just doesn't work.
It's very bearing,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
Do you actually enjoy the process of writing? The actual physical process?
Sometimes. If I feel that I'm describing something in a way that I think, yes, that is what I mean, that's how it tastes or smells or felt, then.
And if
but not in that kind of, you know, it's painful for me to be away from my desk now kind of a way.
Yeah.
Because I have managed to keep seeing my friends. And I haven't bought many new clothes.
It's not what they tell us, but you know.
But what do you have you started writing again since you finished
it? I have. It's in my head.
So it's in that novel strange, number three.
Novel number three, yeah. I've written a bit. I've written the first chapter of something.
Oh, God, well done. I can't. I think I wrote it
before I finished that.
Really?
Yeah, because I just, again, I thought, oh, God, I've got to get this little boy down. He's a bit weird. But, you know, it may all change. It may all change.
Oh, now I'm feeling really guilty because I really haven't.
Well, that's the whole thing about writing, isn't it? That's guilt. The whole thing about writing is totally always guilt.
Well, this will sell very well.
Do you think?
Yes, I do. Who's it for? Kind
of, it's for our age group, yeah. Actually. If it falls into the hands of the wrong child... It will be appalling because they will just think, what's the problem?
Oh, I think quite a few bright 14-year-olds would really like it,
they
actually.
They can have it, yeah, because of Sarah, the daughter, they can have it. But I'm afraid of the 30-year-old now. I'm afraid of the 30-year-old who kind of goes, you know, it's a bit like, you know, books are so timely, aren't they? I always think that I read Rebecca when I was 14, which is exactly the right age. Because you're old enough to imagine falling in love with someone, but you're not old enough to think the last person you should touch with a barge pole is Max, because he's obviously horrible, controlling, in denial about all sorts of things.
Yeah, so you're 14,
you're
naive enough.
A grown-up woman would
sack
Mrs. Danvers, redo the house, not really bother with anyone except the sister-in-law, who's sort of all right. You know, she would have saved herself a fortune just by having one decent conversation with her husband.
That would make a crap film.
It would make a crap film. But Rebecca, when I read it, I can still feel how it made me feel about... You know, there's that thing when she puts on Rebecca's coat to go down to the cove and she puts her hands in the pockets and there's there's a lace handkerchief that Rebecca would have used. And I thought, bloody hell, you know, I can still, it's tingling. I can feel what that, but
they can
now,
make as many Rebeccas as they like.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, I would watch a version of Rebecca every week of my life.
It's
they
amazing.
They could do them in Japanese.
But I still think if I read Rebecca now, even though I would love Daphne du Maurier, I would still be thinking,
sack
the housekeeper, you know, have a decent conversation with Max. You can sort all this out. You can find out what he feels about you. You know.
Let's go to couples counselling.
Yeah, exactly. Don't bother with dressing up in that stupid thing that she told you to wear. Yeah. You know, have a decent look at the portrait above that. That's what you're bloody wearing, lady.
Yeah.
Plus, tell us who you are. You know, give your name.
You've just done all the spoilers
by the way,
in one sentence.
Yeah.
If there is anybody that's listening to this podcast is reading Rebecca at the moment, she's
guys.
Blown it.
So, you know, I went, and who killed her? So I won't say that. But I think, you know, if there's some person might, they probably wouldn't finish it, but they might start reading Marion's story and just feel we've moved on from this. You know, people are more in charge. They don't have to wait for the housekeeper to arrive.
Oh, but I think it's a very good reminder. And I think that it's very good for young women to actually read what it was like for previous generations.
I hope so.
Especially when it's so, sorry, that it's so captivating. It's so... I'm in that kitchen with her.
Yeah, it was like that though, wasn't it? And I do feel that, although, again, my mother is not Marion. A lot of the things that happened to Marion coincidentally happened to my mother, losing her own mother very young and going into... Because my dad was in the army and she was a nurse.
Ditto.
So they both had professions because they had lost their mothers in their teens that gave them a home and a sense of order and some sort of family.
Routine.
And I think my parents made it up. You know, I think I was lucky in that she and I had a really lovely, close relationship. But looking back, I think she didn't have a clue what she was doing, really. She really did not.
And well,
No, but I think she was even more lost because she just didn't have, you know, I think if you lose your mother at 13, if you are unmothered, when you get teenagers of your own, you must think, what the heck? And actually a bit, because John, my husband, lost his father when he was 16. And I was sort of aware, as our son Jackson got older, that I was going to have to kind of watch that bit. You know, because John had to cope at 16 and he coped brilliantly with the fact that obviously it was completely unexpected. His dad was only in his 50s. His older sister was off at university. So John had to man up, you know, and become the man of the household for a while. And obviously he coped really well. He's that sort of person. But I thought, you know, if that happened to Jack, I don't know how he'd be. And you can't tell and you can't project onto your children, sadly, what you'd like them to do. So I felt quite watchful for both of them, that I wanted to help them just get through this bit, not in a kind of, you know, although of course I am a lazy amateur psychologist, but I also just thought, you know, if you have lost a parent, there's part of you that's constantly, I don't know, in the ether, searching for that bit of your parenting experience to kind of anchor you, whether you want to actually reject it.
I think you'd make quite a good shrink.
Yeah.
I think she would too.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that.
Would you?
I would.
Is that your next reinvention?
No, because you have to put in the hours. You really do have to put in the hours.
Yeah. And then you have to listen to other people. And yeah. God, they're boring we'll sometimes.
Yes.
You
yes.
Someday you'd have to have stop them and go, can you just embroider this for me? Can you just make up a new character? Yeah. I'm really bored of your cast list and your dreary little life. But I tell you what, I don't know whether I should tell you this, but I think a female psychiatrist protagonist in a book is a very good idea.
Yeah.
Listen, we are glad to see you.
Glad to
Judith
be here.
Really wants a Blue Peter badge. Do you have a load in your bag?
Only for traffic wardens, sorry.
Hey!
Oh!
She's got the uniform. She's as a sex thing with her
so
husband.
So wanted one.
We're going to have to let you all go now because, some of you might need to be fed or something.
Get to the loo.
Yeah. You can relax now.
Can we have a cup of
tea? Yeah.
Can we have a cup of tea? Might need to steal a chocolate.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.